All right, so Stephen Pepper at Japers Rink talking to Ross Greenberg, the producer of the show Road to the Winter Classic. You've seen the HBO version. Now we get to see a new and improved Epix version with the same man at the helm. So, Ross, thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Great to be with you, Steve.
You know, as I just mentioned, I guess off the top, you produced the first program of this type leading up to the 2011 Winter Classic with Capitals in it. What, you know, what sort of things have you learned since then in trying to make this a compelling show, particularly for a casual hockey fan?
Yeah, I think going in depth, kind of drawing out some storylines that aren't necessarily hockey-oriented, like the Barry Trotz and his son Nolan story of what it's like to have a special needs child. Nolan has Down syndrome, and kind of bringing that to the American public and showcasing the fact that their family life is no different than yours or mine. Love that child, and I think that kind of a story can make a real statement. But also looking for the fun moments, you know, and as you go along. I mean, I'll now never forget Shaw and Bickle going at it in the trainer's room, you know, with Bickle's face half smudged up with a terrible black eye and cuts all over the place. And Shaw walks in and Bickle's giving him a hard time about a lousy haircut,
right,
as if his face looks pristine in the mirror. And, you know, that's what you shoot for in these shows, to just bring a smile to people's face or to see the intensity that goes on the ice. It's just a really fascinating game to cover.
So, you know, the Caps have been through this before as an organization. Many of the players from the 2010-11 season are still with the team, including most of the core guys, of Backstrom, Ovechkin, Brooks-Like. You know, how do you present a new angle about these guys to the greater hockey world that have seen this program before?
Well, luckily, we're in a stage where, you know, I did that show late 2010, and obviously 2011 was the game on New Year's Day. But here we are, 2014, and Ovi's grown up into this incredible leader and a mature NHL hockey player. In those days, he had just gotten to the league. He was much younger, and I think just showcasing that maturation as he heads into a new season with a new head coach. And we've already kind of discussed in our first episode the relationship with Trotz, and now we're just going to get deeper and deeper into seeing how he kind of has molded into this leader on the Washington Capitals. And his coach, Barry Trotz, has taken him under his wing. And Ovechkin is also a mentor to a couple of young Russians on the team. So it's kind of, you've seen the evolution of the players. Backstrom is this quiet leader who just is the glue. They all talk about him being the glue of the whole team on the ice and even off the ice. So, you know, they've really come together. Trotz is new culture there, so we want to showcase that and show people the behind the scenes of how he's doing it.
Just to talk about nuts and bolts for a little bit, there was a quote from Eric Fair of the Caps saying that the camera crew is doing a pretty good job of being sneaky. You know, what are some of the content collection things that you've done this time around to try to capture more than you know, for a group of guys that now have experienced this and sort of know where to pick their spots?
Yeah, I mean, the mics are on the coaches on the bench. The mics are in the, you know, locker rooms. The mics are everywhere, picking up a lot of fun stuff. And the guys, you know, at times forget that we're there at all. That's really the way you become kind of good at this game. And we have some real professionals, you know, producers, shooters in the field who are just focused on drawing out as many storylines as we can. And, you know, so that Chimera and Ward may be yucking it up on the in the locker room as they were in the first episode, or, you know, it's just, you never know what you're going to get. The camera's always on, and, you know, you're just kind of following the story.
Is there a sort of process of establishing trust with the players, too, to let them know that we're not trying to portray you in a negative light?
Yeah.
How do you go about that?
Yeah, that starts 2 months ago. I have meetings with all the different teams, and I talk to management, coaches, everyone, and we sit down and I just explain that trust is the key to this entire working relationship, and they have to trust that we're not trying to make them look foolish, and they have to trust also that we're there to observe and shoot what they do on a daily basis in this NHL, and that we're going to not get in the way of them doing their jobs. And we ask them to trust us, but also to give us the professional courtesy of doing our job and making sure that we can go off ice with players and see who they are in real life, see who Trotz is, see, you know, who Ted Leonsis is, the owner. So that's really important to us, that that is established early, and then we carry through the entire 5 weeks with them with that mutual trust. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, if they see something that they don't like, you know, I'm going to talk to them, and, you know, I won't give them final cut, but I'll definitely look at what they're having to say, and I'll take it out if I think it's too sensitive or something's off, it's over the line or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because language is also an issue here.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So this is a Capitals-focused outlet, and I wanted to pick your brain a little bit since you've been immersed in the team through this process 5 years ago and now today.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Ovechkin undergoing this maturation process.
Yeah.
What are sort of some of the things you've seen, and particularly for, I think, outsiders, they look at a team who's constantly cycled through coaches and has struggled to really find their way and maybe find an identity. What have you seen about Ovechkin when you say maturation?
Yeah, well, it's more than just Ovechkin. First of all, Barry's definitely adopted a new culture, and you can see it evolving, and you can see it taking shape, and you can see a team that's coming together in the locker room much more than 4 years ago. The family is starting to kind of materialize, and I think that shootout that just happened, which we'll portray in the second episode, seems to be a real, interestingly, they lose the shootout, but, you know, we were just talking in a format session, and I have a feeling that that might have taken the team and melded it together, believe it or not, even in a loss. So I'm starting to see something happen there, and obviously they're winning a lot, which is great for them and not bad for our show. You know, no losing streaks this time around. And I think that makes a difference because it's kind of showing off a bit. And I think, you know, something's happening there. I'm not going to say they're going to go out and win the Stanley Cup, but something's going on. And I think Washington should be, the city should be pretty excited because Capitals hockey is really coming back. I can feel it. You know, just being around it. And I'm not just, you know, getting out the megaphone and trying to stir up a lot of fun down there. I'm being honest. You know, we're as close as you can get. But the locker room's different.
It's good to hear.
Yeah.
So I saw a little bit of this and we'll write some of this. But, you know, one general question is, do you go into a show like this having themes that you want to cover off the bat, and then also, of course, you see the footage and you will draw from it what presents itself. How much of the show is kind of prepared in advance in terms of a theme and a narrative, and how much do you just let it happen?
There is some narrative that you kind of sense from my meetings early on that you want to tell, whether it's Trotz and his relationship at home with his son and his wife, or, you know, Ovechkin maturing, that you kind of sense that, and so you jump on those stories early and you see if it unfolds before your eyes. But you have to be reactive. You have to, you know, I didn't know going in that they were going to have this kind of shootout, you know, so if they're going to have that kind of shootout, you have to tell that story. Very important. Backstrom, you know, I think it's very important that we explain the glue. We knew going in that that's how people were talking about him, but it's important that we kind of showcase it and look for little moments along the way, whether it's in the locker room or on the ice, where we can kind of show that instead of just hearing about it. You know, it's not enough to just get an interview. Show little scenes that explain the kind of leadership qualities of Nicklas Backstrom. Chimeron Ward, we found that in the locker room, and I just think that's a great relationship between two good buddies that, you know, are a very integral part of this team.
Yeah.
And real stalwarts, and I didn't know they were that good of friends, and now I know, and we're going to capitalize on that. You know, you just kind of look for them. If they're not, if sometimes they'll happen because of the drama of the game, sometimes they'll happen off the ice, and you'll just notice it, and you just have to jump on it.
You mentioned Coach Trotz and his wife and son Nolan, the trip to the zoo. That was, I think, my favorite moment because it captured Trotz as the person and Trotz as the coach and his coaching style, you know, the running back and forth to the two parents. What was your favorite moment from episode one?
That was definitely one of them, and that was one I felt really strongly about. The integration of how he coaches versus how he's changed, having a special needs child, I think, you know, that was about as human as you can get. And, you know, I almost started crying when I saw it the first time. And that's a tribute to, you know, the people that are in this edit room that put it together, Brad and Fritz Mitchell. So, but that was a moment. I think the other favorite moments were Mitch Korn, you know, packing up his car and checking out of his hotel every time they leave. He's a character, and you know, we knew going in that he was a character, but I didn't know he was going to be so easy to kind of showcase like that. But then we saw the intensity on the ice as he worked with Holtby, you know, and what kind of driving coach he is. Another favorite moment was that interchange between Shaw and Bickle in that locker room, in the trainer's room, where, you know, Bickle's face is a mess and Shaw goes in and he starts giving, they give each other a hard time about their face and their hair. You know, that's a moment to remember forever. And then, of course, you know, Taves and the aftermath of the Taves hit, you know, against the boards and the way the NHL protocol for concussions took place and the way that Q, you know, reacted to it and said, Johnny, you got to get off the ice. And we followed Johnny to the, you know, the room where he's going to go through concussion protocol. And then we follow him into the locker room where he waits for the rest of his team after the win. I think that's real behind the scenes cool stuff, you know, that you don't normally see.
Yeah. Well, and that exchange between Trotz and Paul Dvorsky was fantastic at the end there. What do you do with the refs in advance? Do you talk to them about how it's going to go down?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the refs were mic'd. And, you know, you have to make sure that, you know, that series of discussions happened 2-3 months ago. We started talking to the NHL, who then in turn talked to all the refs and said, we'd like to mic you. And Dvorsky, you know, is a great ref and an unbelievable character. And it's rare that, you know, you can get that kind of exchange in any professional sport. It just threw a great light on, you know, when you see coaches during games in any sport and you see them barking at each other, you always wonder what they're saying. Well, for once, you can know what they're saying, you know, and you saw how we fit it into the storyline because there were a lot of penalties and, you know, they were on the power play a while. And Dvorsky just caught Trotz with that statement. It was kind of a funny exchange.
Yeah, it sure was. Well, thanks so much for your time, Ross. I just have one other question. You know, you've been at this a long time. What drives you to produce a show like this? What's your favorite thing, you know, in crafting a show like this?
I think just seeing people's reactions as they're watching it, you know, smiles on their faces and maybe getting a tear in their eye, just drawing out emotion in people and just taking the NHL and this great sport and giving people a totally different perspective than they normally get by just watching a 2.5-hour, 3-period game.
Yeah.
And bringing the players and the coaches to life.
Great. Thanks so much, Ross.
Thanks, Steve.